right, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation, the third chapter. And we are on lesson number 11. Lesson 11 started on it last week, I believe. Lesson 11. Started on it 2 weeks ago, actually. All right. If you need lesson 11, raise your hand. We have those. It should say the Approved Church of Philadelphia. Anyone need lesson 11? All right. Brother Collins, doesn't look like it. We had a tremendous, it's been an amazing week, really. We had the basketball game at the school with no heat on Tuesday. Kind of reminds me of this morning. Anyway, we literally could see our breath during the game. The gym was, they started out with a little garage kind of heater, and then I stood in front of it out at half court, and they said I would have to move for the game. So then they moved the heater, turned it off, and I mean, literally, it was unbelievable. And then we had the Roanoke tournament, which we do that every year, and that was good. Our boys did win that. Our JV, we split our team in half, and our JV got fifth place, and then our varsity got first place out of 10 teams. So that was very interesting. It was just a lot of games. I believe we ended up playing 6 games in 2 days. Well, not both teams, but a total of, I got to coach 6 games. And I got to see a lot of old friends. Dar, Brother Lovin said, tell you hello. And, of course, we know many of the people there, and many of them know us. And I don't necessarily remember them because they were all little, and now they're big. And, oh, Pastor Rogers, yeah, you remember me, don't you? No, I don't. But anyway, yeah, I was in third grade. How could you forget? You know, now they're 30. But anyway, it was good. Boys did a good job and had a good time. And, of course, winter did have to come, and it came there, and there was snow, and I thought we were going to make it. I really did. But anyway, still not a bad day, so praise the Lord for that. But I do apologize. Somehow these thermostats got turned down. I have no idea how, don't know why anybody would, but they were down. So that is why it is cooler in here than it ought be. So that we'll blame somebody. All right. I know, everything rises and falls on leadership, so we'll blame me. But I'm suffering too, because my feet are freezing. All right, anyway, we are in Revelation chapter 3, and our memory verse is a little teeny verse, verse 11, and an easy verse to memorize. Revelation 3:11. Let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again, and begin. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3:11. And again, Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3:11. Thank you so much, Father, for this time we can spend in this class. Thank you for Lord, the Word of God that we can study from and we can learn. And I thank you for our faithful folks here that come each week. And Lord, desiring to get something from your Word, I pray you'll help us to get that. Help us to have our hearts open and ready to receive that which you have for us. And Lord, I pray again that you would you'd work in our hearts and our lives, that we'd be different as a result of today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the city of Philadelphia was located 30 miles southeast of Sardis. It was a very heavy Jewish population in Philadelphia, and it was a place, a city known for earthquakes. Literally was destroyed in AD 17 and rebuilt by Tiberius Caesar. The church, as we've talked about, and I think is significant, and you see it as we go through the passage. Primarily, it was poor people living on the outskirts of a very large city called Philadelphia, and they were very heavily taxed people, so we can identify with that, amen. And But they were, again, they were primarily not wealthy people. They were, but the church was obviously doing great things. The characteristic of Christ, of course, we covered that and talked about that, and how he talks about no one can shut the door that I open, and he's the opener, he's the shutter, and I think that's significant. You know, again, we talk about the song, and Joyce and I were talking about she was reading the song "Little Is Much When God Is In It." Well, there's a reason for that, and that is if God opens a door, nobody's going to shut the door. And if God shuts a door, nobody's going to open the door. God's in control. God can take anything. God can take David with a sling and kill Goliath. God can take Gideon, who was hiding behind the wine press when God found him, and God can take him, and he can lead the little army of 300 against the thousands of the Midianites and win the battle. You know, God can take little and make it much. And so that is the key to that, and so... as we think about the characteristic of Christ, that seems to me to stand out a lot with the Church of Philadelphia. Then number three was the condemnation, and there is no condemnation. And just like the church at Smyrna, there's nothing negative to be said. Again, let's understand that doesn't mean the people are perfect. It doesn't mean that they are not sinners. It simply means that they were dealing with their sin as we should. And there were not issues that were being left alone. There were issues certainly in the church, as there are in every church, but they were dealt with, and the people as a whole were getting things right with the Lord. They, you know, I believe they would be a church that would have altar calls, and I believe that the altar would be full. I believe they're a church that would have powerful preaching, and I believe the people would respond. I believe the people read their Bibles. I believe the people walked with God, and they responded. It's like our lives, you know, that we're not perfect. None of us are. We have those thoughts. We have those actions that we're ashamed of, but we get it right with God. And these people, I believe, were like that. I believe they also were not complainers. They were not compromisers, though the time was a difficult time. The persecution was great. There was no reason, the way God saw it, who is the one who watches our works, there was no condemnation. There was a commendation given, and again, it has to do with thou hast a little strength, and you know, if you have a little strength, you have enough strength, because little is much when God is in it. And so there, the commendation, you have a little strength, and so you can do something. He said, you kept my word, and so we know that though you may have a little strength, you can still do right, and praise the Lord for that. And they kept God's word, and they have not, he said, you have not denied my name. And again, this is a day where people would deny the name of Jesus, and certainly we live in that day as well. And so we ended with the commendation last week, and so now we come to number four, and that is the counsel. The counsel in verse 11 is the what I call the counsel section of this letter. And he says, and it is our memory verse, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And I think that is a significant, significant verse in that, you know, you work hard for something. You work hard to achieve. One of the most frustrating things to me is people who have worked hard to achieve something only to throw it away. It is one of the most frustrating things I think that I see. I watch people that have been married 25 years get a divorce. I just don't understand it. You know, I know in the first 20 years, I mean, that's, you have most of your tribulation, trial, problems. You know, if there are going to be disagreements, you're going to find those out in the first 5 to 10 years. You're going to, there's going to be, you know, somewhere along the line, all that ooey gooey stuff here at the altar is going to, you know, it's going to be kind of pushed aside for, wait a minute, this guy clips his toenails and leaves them on the floor, you know. I mean, you know, reality is going to set in, and it amazes me after 25 years, you know. I'll watch people that they've raised their children. They've reared, several kids. The kids are grown up, and then they go out and get a divorce. And it amazes me how people will throw away what they've worked for. People will do that on the job. They'll have a job for years and years, and they'll be faithful, and all of a sudden, then they, you know, they'll throw that away. Business people will do that. I've watched these kinds of things. I watch a student, and by the way, it doesn't have to be lots of years. It could be a whole year of straight A's, only in the last semester to give up. It just is so frustrating to me. And I think, again, here's a church, the church at Philadelphia, that has been doing so well. And God says, you have a little strength. Again, God knows all about it. God knows where they are. God knows their income and the taxes and the persecution and all that. And you know, he's exhorting them to, okay, hold on to what you have. You know, keep going. Don't quit. And I like, you know, what he says. He says, I come quickly. And quickly here means suddenly. It means unexpectedly. It's the idea, and we use the word of imminence, and that's a good word. It's not necessarily, you know, a Bible word that we use, but the idea of he could come at any time. I come quickly. It's there's not going to be, this warning, okay, next week at this time I'll be here. He's going to come quickly. It's going to be imminent. It's going to be at any moment, and without warning, without any idea that it's going to happen. And by the way, when he talks about that, I always go back to my days working at the gas station, and back when they had they actually served you at a gas station and washed the windows and checked the oil and all that kind of stuff. And literally, we had inspectors come, and they would watch us, and they would sit in the parking lot across from where we were. And I mean, they watch to make sure we're washing windows. Doesn't matter how much you got. Of course, back then, a dollar would buy you a gallon. Back then, a dollar would buy you 2 gallons, actually. Isn't that hard to imagine? But I mean, it didn't matter. And it was funny. There'd be people come in, I want a dollar's worth, you know? And boy, now it's just, and it's done. But we had to go, could I check that oil for you, sir? I mean, all the time, you had to go around. And if you're not doing it, these guys are, you know, they're writing all that down. Sometimes they'd pull in, like they're getting gas, and you had to do that whole thing, and you never knew when they were coming, and that comes to mind. I mean, certainly in other jobs, there are people that you have inspectors and so this idea, he says, I come quickly. You know, it's not like we may have this idea. Okay, I'm gonna mess up for a little while, but I'll get it all back. Well, you don't know. What if in the midst of your messing up, you lose it, and he comes and he wants us to know that's how it is. By the way, that's not the first time he used that. In chapter 2, verse 5, the church at Ephesus told him the same thing. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent, do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick. Again, the idea, I come quickly. It'll be suddenly. It'll be, you're not going to have warning. I'm just going to show up, and it's not going to be good for you. Pergamos was another church. Verse 16, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly. Again, the idea of unexpectedly. Sardis was the other one in chapter 3. Verse 3, he said, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So in all those cases, it was a coming of judgment, and in this case, it's not said that way, but the idea is you're going to lose what you have worked for because I'm going to come suddenly, and I'm going to come and I'm going to reward you. Don't lose the reward that you've worked for. And it's so important. It says in Matthew 25, verse 13, look at that real quick. And by the way, this is emphasized over and over again. Certainly, we often think of, I don't want Jesus to come when I'm messing around or I'm doing wrong or something like that. On the other side of that, we don't want him to come when we're not being faithful either. And we don't want him to come. You know, here's a guy that's faithfully, let's say he's taught a Sunday school class faithfully and done a great job. And then all of a sudden he gets, you know, bent out of shape over something and maybe backslides a little bit. And he says, okay, I'm out of here and I'm not going to do this anymore. What a shame. I see it happen all the time. What a shame, you know, somebody that's been faithful for years and years and years, and certainly there would be some rewards for those years and years and years because the lives of people that are taught, but what a shame to not be found faithful when Jesus comes. How sad that would be. Now, certainly, if for health reasons or whatever, we would have to quit doing some things that we did, I don't think that's what he's talking about here. But it's sad how we will so quickly throw away that which we work for. I think about the, I don't know if you read in the paper about the lady that got scammed out of $40,000. $40,000, an elderly lady. I assume that she's not making money anymore, and so to lose $40,000, you know, and it was a scam to, you know, for her to get more money, and that idea that, oh, well, you know, I'll do this, and I mean literally get, and it's like you know, just kind of throwing away. I try to illustrate to people all the time, you know, you just give me $100 bill and we'll light a match to it, you know, because when I mean, you work hard, are you working hard for that? Then don't just throw it away. Don't just treat it like that, and it should be that way with whatever we do. Matthew 25 and verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And he says, I want you to get your reward. And that's what he says to the church of Philadelphia. I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He says, hold on to it. You have rewards. You have a crown. Now, hold on to it. And what's he saying? He said, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you've been doing. You have a crown. You have earned that crown. You have a reward of a crown. It reminds me of 2 John 8. Look at that. I don't know how many times I've brought in a new year reading 2 John 8 and read it, you know, in church services with New Year services and everything else. And many, many times I've gone to 2 John 8. It says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I'll tell a young person who has gone three quarters with no demerits. And I'll tell him, Now, you know, that's a great achievement if you can go all year and not get any demerits. Now, you know, yeah, but I just want to, no, you just do right. Don't lose that. You have achieved something great. A student that's gone their freshman year and sophomore year, maybe junior year, and made real good grades, and then, well, it's my senior year, I just want to goof off. Why? It's not time to goof off. It's time to work hard. It's time to get that good grade. I've known several students that all their elementary years they got straight A's. Everything straight A's, and they went into junior high and all the kids made fun of them because they're the, you know, you're the teacher's pet. You you make straight A's. You're the bookworm, whatever. And all of a sudden their grades start dropping, and it's like, what are you doing? I just wanted to be like everybody. No. You've worked hard. Now just achieve the thing you work for. Don't just throw it out the window. And these are things we've worked for. Look to yourselves. Don't lose the things you've worked for. Receive the full reward. And it's so important. It's so sad when people will let go of years of doing right. It just breaks my heart. Years of doing right, years of taking a stand, years of going against the grain, years of being made fun of, years of persecution. For what? You know, for what? Well, I got more money. Big deal. You know, in heaven, where are you going to spend it? It amazes me, absolutely amazes me. I'll see it happen. Immorality is just rampant today. I know of people, these are people I know personally that have thrown ministries away because of immorality. Again, I'm preaching about it on Sunday night, flesh, you know? So you're gonna have your little pleasure and what you think is pleasure, and you're gonna throw away everything you work for. I know people right now, they're throwing away their kids. How do you throw away your kids? you know, just to satisfy their flesh. Esau threw away his birthright. Can you imagine that? His birthright. It's just amazing. Why for a bowl of soup? Just amazing. Years and years. I'm thinking of missionaries who serve God faithfully on the mission field, only to, you know, throw it all away. Again, you know, I understand there's reward for what we did. There's reward for those years, but it's not the full reward. Bus workers do it. Deacons do it. Sunday school teachers do it. I think of prayer warriors, you know, and soul winners. You know, I get frustrated with, well, I used to. One of the toughest soul winning visits that I make is somebody saying, yeah, I don't go to church now, but I used to. And it's like, used to what? Well, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to be a deacon. And you don't even go to church now? I don't understand it. I just don't get it at all. And God says to the church at Philadelphia, he says, hold fast. And by the way, folks, if God says you got to hold fast to it, understand, it's not something that just sticks to you. Okay, the crown doesn't have Velcro on it. Amen. You know, hold on to the crown. You say, wow, you know, it's been a blessing serving God all these years. God says, hold on. You know, your biggest temptation might be coming. I mean, you know, I look around here and most of us, we're a little older. And our biggest temptation might be coming. It seems like, well, everything should be settled. Yeah, it should be. Hold on. That's what God said. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Well, you know, I've done right all these years, and I'm just kind of wondering what. Don't wonder any longer what it's like not doing right. Just keep doing right. Do right all the way to the grave. Amen. Amen. Every now and then I'll have a student say, well, you know, I had to grow up. I grew up in church, and I was in the back in the nursery, and I was in 4- and 5-year-olds, and then I was in the primary, and then junior, and then teens, and all I've known is a church life, and I'm just kind of curious, and I just say, hey, look, don't be curious about any of it. Just forget it. You just keep doing right. You know what a blessing it is? It's a blessing when a teenager doesn't have a testimony of I did this wrong and did that wrong and did this wrong and did that wrong. Isn't it wonderful when an adult gives up and gives a testimony and says, you know, I've just always been in church. I just grew up in church. And I went to the Christian school, and I just always have done right. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, I give my testimony, and I don't give it with any kind of pride at all. It's a shame. It is absolutely a shame that I was the punk that I was. But I tell our young men, look, you need to praise God you grew up in church. You need to praise God your parents made you sit in church. You need to praise God your parents showed you the altar. You need to praise God you knew what the Lord's Supper was. You need to praise God that you know how to stand up and sing the Star Spangled Banner. You need to praise God that you've learned how to respect adults. And you need to praise God, because I'm telling you, most of the world doesn't have a clue. They just don't have a clue. And I'll tell you, know, you need to praise God that you know how to get up in the morning and you know how to do work and get the job done. And you just keep doing it. Just keep right on doing it. If it was right, it still is right. And we need to just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And that's like this church. You know, we're going on our, I knew I was going to get myself in trouble, 65th. That didn't sound right. 70th. Wait a minute. 42. 70th anniversary. And you know, that's just amazing. Just think about that. And the temptation is to, you know, put a Burger King sign out. Right? Well, it's not temptation to me, but I guarantee there's people out there that sit out there thinking about it. You say, how do you know that? Because they visit Burger King churches. Might be some of you. You know, you don't have Wendy up here. You don't have Ronald. You don't have Burger King. You don't. The old paths still work, folks. The old way still works. It's still right. And that's exactly what God is telling the church at Philadelphia. He says, hold on to what you have. You know, the altar call is still right. Bus ministry is still right. Soul winning is still right. Standards are still right. Doing right is still right. Amen. Doing your own thing is not right. Never has been right. Won't ever be right. The law points out to us doing our own thing just sends us to hell. That's not in the notes. It's all free. I gave it to you for free. Try to warm things up a little bit. But anyway, he says, hold on to it. You did right. Now keep doing right. Number six is the comfort. The comfort. And there's a lot about that, and it's good stuff. The comfort is such a blessing as we start to run out of time. Ushers, if you'll come, please. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. Verse 8, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. And the first thing that I see here is this open door. And we have kind of talked about it a little bit. An open door, to me, that's a comfort. To me, when God says to the church at Philadelphia, I've opened a door to you. He's already said in verse 7 that he is the opener and he is the shutter. Okay, no man opens, no man shuts. I do that. And he tells them, I've given you an open door. Now, you and I can look at, for example, we can look at all kinds of circumstances. And we look around the circumstances of, it not being popular to take a stand on the Word of God. And that's a circumstance. But then God gives us comfort, says, but I've opened the door. You know, you can still carry the Word of God. Do you understand there are countries where if you carry the Word of God, you're gonna be persecuted for that. Do you realize that there are Christians dying in this world? I believe it's in Syria. You'll have to dig deep because the major news outlets don't talk about it. Do you know what I mean by major news outlets don't talk about Christians dying? Because it's Muslims that are killing them. It's Islam. And we Christians are dying. I'm talking about if you have your King James Bible and you're walking down the street, you're probably going to die in some of these countries. You know what God says to you and I today? He says, the door's open. The door's open. Not only can you carry your Bible, but most of us have more than one Bible. I don't know how many Bibles. I've got a lot of Bibles. Amen. You know, what's he saying? He's saying, door's open. You know, we still can take our Bible. We can take our Bible, we can take a New Testament, and we can go to somebody's house. We can knock on their door, and we can show them verses of Scripture out of our Bible. Door's open, he says. You know, it's like the times are bad, but the door's open. Times aren't that bad as long as the door's open, amen. I mean, it's a comfort to us. God says, hey, I've left the door open. You know, the door is open until when? Till it's closed. Amen. I tell people all the time, they'll say, oh, you know, I thought God wanted me to go to Bible college, but I'm not so sure. Why? Well, you know, this is good. The news said this, and this person said that, and that person. I said, wait a minute. Is the door open or not? Well, yeah. I said, then you walk through the door till the door closes. You know, folks, honestly, in our Christian life, people want to see, you know, God write something across the sky as to his will and directions and all that kind of stuff. And to me, an open door is always an open door. You walk through the door. Now, when God shuts the door, don't take a sledgehammer to it. Amen? Just the door, if it's open, it's open. If it's closed, it's closed. Somebody said, you know, it's getting tough to run those buses. Well, right now, the door's open. Amen? You know, oh, diesel fuel, it's expensive. Yeah, but the door's open. We paid all our bills last year, and we're going to pay all our bills this year. Door's open. Amen? And praise the Lord. Y'all seem to need encouragement today. All right. I love that. I mean, to me, that is an awesome, awesome comfort that God says, you know what? The door's open. There's four doors or three doors talked about in the book of Revelation. And I think it's significant, and I think we need to look at them under this, so it's kind of a sub-point to this idea of there being, you know, the open door. The first one is verse 8, and I think it's a door of service. The whole idea here is, you know, you have little strength. You have little strength, but the door is still open. I mean, I've seen, you know, little bugs and stuff get in the room because the door was open. You know, I've seen wounded bugs and wounded spiders, and you know, you take a newspaper and you swat something, and because the door's open, they still come on in. You know, I'm thinking about cats, but I won't get into that story, but because some of you get personally offended. But you know, as long you, I'm kind of weak. Yeah, but as long as the door's open, just crawl in. Amen. As long as the door's open, even if you are weak, to me it's a comfort when God says it is open. And the door of service is open today. Look at Acts 14, 27. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. Acts 14, 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. God opened a door so that the Gentiles, now the Gentiles, a door of faith, the Gentiles believed, you know. And what an amazing thing that was. God opened the door and they needed to simply go through that door. God has opened the door, and we just need to go through that door. Somebody says, well, you know, back in the 70s, you could go soul winning and see lots of people saved, and it wasn't so bad. Do you know that? And then they'll always say, and today people slam the door in your face. Do you know, back in the late 70s and early 80s, I got the door slammed in my face many, many times. Well, but look at your face. Okay. But let's get away from that. And, you know, people slammed the door in your face in the 70s and 80s and 90s and in the early 2000s. That sounds funny. And you know what? They're always going to slam. But the door's open. We still can go. You know, there's not guards posted at every street shooting soul winners when you knock on. Somebody slams a door in your face. Oh, but you know they're really watching out because of all the predators after the kid. I understand that. I'm glad they are watching out. Aren't you? Amen. That doesn't bother me. My soul winner. Hopefully, our bus workers aren't predators. They better not be. Amen. We need to watch out for the children. Parents should. I've always been amazed how a parent will put a child on a bus or they'll send them. They're laying in bed and they go, get on the bus. And they'll send them on a bus to go somewhere they've never been, but they do it. Amen. But you know, they ought to watch. They ought to be wary of you with their children. Don't you agree? I agree totally. And I'm glad they are. It doesn't bother me at all. We have nothing to hide. It's still an open door, isn't it? It's still an open door to have Vacation Bible School. Still, okay, I recognize there's wicked people out there. There's a ton of wicked people out there. But it's still an open door. We just need to be smart. We should be smart anyway. We should have always been smart. Amen? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing for a child to come here and some adult hurt that child? That'd be a terrible thing. We don't want that. We never want that. Okay, so I've heard churches say we've had to close our bus ministry. Well, why? Do you have predators in your bus ministry? You don't have to close your bus. You just have to be wise, and you should have been wise anyway. I remember years ago it was the joke, you know, the Baptist churches running junk buses that were unsafe. Oh yeah, that's funny. Ha ha. That's not funny. It's never funny. It's never funny to treat children that we say we love you and God loves you and to say, but we really don't care if you survive or not. That's never been funny. You know, it gets questioned. Well, you're bribing kids. We're not bribing anybody to come. We love the kids. You have to understand. It should be we love children and we give them prizes because it's fun to give them prizes. I watch Brother Collins back there, and he gives out candy all the time. He's always giving it to kids, never gives it to me. But But anyway, I watch him all the time. And he loves to do it. Brother Click loves it. I don't know how. These kids get more candy. You know, the dentists should love us. They should tithe to our church. But I'm just saying, well, you know, why do you? You understand that Brother Dave and I, for Vacation Bibles, we labor over the prizes so that they're perfect. And sometimes I have to ask him, because he's certainly much more kid than I am. You know, okay, well, they like this. And he'll look at me like, Dad, I don't think you understand. And every now and then we'll ask some of our kids, you know, would you like this? And the things I think they'd like, they look at me like, you're old. But we want them to be happy. We want them to be safe. We, you know, those things are all right. Amen. So laws change and it gets tougher. Amen. Amen. You know, I think predators ought to be locked up. I think they ought to be locked up and throw away the key, as far as I'm concerned. Honestly, I have no tolerance for that kind of stuff. And we should not either. And that's just one issue. But the door's open, folks. The door's open. You know, a parent comes, you're talking to their child, and their child's out in the yard, and here's two adults. You know what? Mom and dad should come to the door and say, what are you doing? They should. Amen. They should. And we should immediately put something in there. Oh, we're from Berean Baptist Church, and we have, you know, we have a church bus, and that's how it should be. Amen. Oh, because there are wicked, vile, perverted people out there. Amen. But we're not that, and we better not be that, and nobody in here better be that. And we find you out, and we'll take you out back, and, well, no, we won't do that, and call the police. But anyway, praise God. I don't know how I got on that. It's not anywhere in my notes, and now I'm out of time. See what happens? It's all your fault. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us and putting up with us. God, help us to protect everyone that comes to our church. And to love everyone, the shepherds, the children, the rich, the poor, to love everyone alike. And Lord, to recognize the open door that we have. And to know that there's a devil that's going to try to close that door. But God, as long as you leave it open, it's open. Thank you for opening that door and giving us that opportunity to serve you in so many different ways. Now please bless our morning service and speak to hearts, we ask in Jesus' name.